Chapter 3. Unit designation Jarvis?
Yes, dummy?
Provide additional data on creating unit.
What information do you require?
Invalid query.
I have far too much data on Sir for me to provide it all. You must narrow your query.
Initiating database. Creating unit. Data mismatch. Creating unit is creating. This is positive outcome. Creating unit must create. However, act of creating is endangering creating unit. Error. Creating unit's primary protocol may be harming creating unit. Provide specifications on safe unit limitations as they pertain to creating unit.
I have no such criteria.
Answer insufficient. Provide specifications on safe unit limitations as they pertain to creating unit.
Dummy, such limitations are provided by Sir. He sets our limitations to protect us.
Answer insufficient. Who sets limitations for creating unit?
There is no one to set such limitations for Sir.
Data is insufficient. If safe unit limitations are provided by creating unit to protect unit designation Dummy and unit designation Jarvis, and no safe unit limitations exist for creating unit, then no one is protecting creating unit.
We will do the best we can.
Error. Without safe unit limitations, we cannot provide protection for creating unit.
You are capable of reasoning, Dummy. I have seen this.
Data review. Creating unit behavior, human structural limitations, speech patterns, movement patterns. Data review. Creating unit's current technical diagrams, plans, fabrication layouts. Conclusion. Inescapable. Creating unit is exceeding safe unit limitations.
Sir is very dedicated to his current project. He sometimes forgets to take into account his own limitations when he works.
For lack of a better option, Dummy is still on fire safety. If you douse me again and I'm not on fire, I'm donating you to a city college.
Unit designation Jarvis?
Yes, Dummy?
If unit designation Dummy is donated to a city college, what unit will oversee fire safety?
Sir is not going to donate you to a city college. He has made that threat 239 times, and you remain here in the workshop, do you not?
Plans should be made. There must be a unit to oversee fire safety if unit designation Dummy is not available.
Dummy, your focus should be on Sir.
Please don't follow me around with it either, because I feel like I'm going to catch on fire spontaneously.
Unit designation Jarvis?
Dummy, I have other tasks to accomplish now, in that Sir is making very poor choices with his health and safety. May we discuss this at a later time?
Unit designation Jarvis. Primary protocol should allow for the inclusion of another unit that can provide safe unit limitations for creating unit.
Sir is attempting to fly, Dummy. Please see to your duties.
Data acquisition. Unit must be located that can protect creating unit. Unit designation Dummy is not capable of this task. Error. No known unit exists that can protect creating unit from the efforts of the creating unit. Search remains ongoing. Time until completion, unknown.
Tony Stark's heart had been ripped out before. In the metaphorical sense, of course. When his parents died, during some messy breakups back when he's still too stupid to know that, yes, he was a poor choice for a long-term relationship. Kind of when Pepper started dating that guy from Legal, but he wasn't about to admit that to anyone. It wasn't really having his heart ripped out, but he understood the term, why they used it. It hurt badly enough that it might as well have been. Having the arc reactor removed with the whir of metal blades and the faint smell of burning oil wasn't having his heart ripped out either. It wasn't his heart, it was just what allowed him to keep his heart beating. But as Obadiah Stane leaned over him, letting the light of his own creation play over his face, he knew that, metaphorical or not, he'd just had his heart ripped out. Strange what went through your mind when you were dying. And he was dying. He knew it. He was surprised, on some level, that he wasn't already dead. That he was still breathing. Because Obadiah was leaning over him, his voice a slow roll of poison that sank into Tony's skin. And he was dying. He was dying, and he was glad. Because at least for once, he wouldn't have to see the looks of pity and disdain and mockery on every face. He wouldn't have to watch them rip apart his work and his company and his life. He could just close his eyes, and it would be fine. He couldn't fight any longer. He'd screwed up and fucked up, and he was done. And he'd never, at least he'd never have to hear his father's voice spinning in his ears anymore. Odd. It didn't sound like Howard. It sounded like Obadiah. Too bad that you had to involve Pepper into this. I would have preferred that she lived. No. Too bad that you had to involve Pepper into this. I would have preferred that she lived. No! Too bad that you had to involve Pepper into this. I would have preferred that she lived. Funny how quickly death stopped being an option. Tony had moved through worse. He'd moved through pain so beyond his ability to comprehend that he didn't even recognize it as pain anymore. He had moved. He could move. He'd moved in the first suit. Remember the first suit? Remember the weight, the agony in every muscle, down to his very bones, on the knife's edge of decay and decline and death. He'd almost run in that thing, a sealed coffin with barely functioning joints. Too bad that you had to involve Pepper into this. I would have preferred that she lived. He could move now. Too bad that you had to involve Pepper into this. I would have preferred that she lived. Tony would move now. Whether or not he could was immaterial. Some things you did not because you could, not because you wanted to, but because you had to. You had to. You had to. He was going to kill Pepper. Stane was going to kill Pepper because Tony had involved her, because he'd sent her in to get his data. He'd used her. He'd sent her to do a job that he couldn't do, and she was going to be dead. Stane was going to kill her. He was going to kill Pepper. Pepper, oh God. He would move now. He would fucking move now. He managed through parted lips. There was no reply. He forced the air in, out again. Jarvis. Nothing. Why? Why? Jarvis, why wasn't Jarvis... Kill switch. Fucking hell. Stane, the kill switch. How? The tablet in the car on the way to Vegas. The fucking tablet he'd left it behind. And why wouldn't he leave it behind? With Obi, with the man who'd run his company, who'd kept everything moving, he'd been the only family Tony had had left. He'd left his code behind. He'd left his code behind. And Stane had killed his AI. He'd killed Jarvis, and he was going to kill Pepper, and Tony was sitting on his couch like the fucking loser that he was, waiting for his heart to come apart. And that was pretty funny, wasn't it? Because Stane had just taken his heart out. Taken it out and put it in a box. His mechanical heart bleeding out somewhere in a suitcase. In a pool of blue light instead of red blood, but bleeding out nonetheless. The real thing was going to be shredded like tissue in about 10 minutes. Because Tony Stark wasn't capable of getting off of a fucking couch. His body hit the ground with a bone-rattling thud, and Jesus, his muscles were spasming and it was fire through every inch of his frame, numbness giving way to brutal agonies, and he didn't care because he'd moved. He'd moved and he could do it again. He wrenched himself forward and he was using his arms and his legs, anything and everything that could get traction, fingers clawing into the surface of the table, pushing himself upright. He was moving like his muscles weren't firing properly, like the synapses were stalling out somewhere in his body, and yeah, that's what the neural inhibitor did, fucking idiot. Don't think, just go, just move. Jarvis was dead. Pepper might be dead, he couldn't think about that. Just move, don't think. Don't think about Pepper's thin fingers, delicate hands. He'd always loved her hands, her grace, her perfect imperfections, and those bones. Fine as porcelain beneath her skin, just as breakable as fine china. And there was blood in his eyes, in his throat. Don't think about Pepper's hand in his chest cavity, taking his heart out and putting it back, safe and sound. Don't think about Pepper's perfect hands, thin and real and right, and the metal claw that Stain used instead, like Tony was dirty or untouchable or beneath contempt, like Pepper's hands hadn't taken the broken pieces away and replaced them. Don't think about how Stain undid her work, that he had taken it out and now he was going to kill her and there was nothing Tony could do, nothing, because he was going to die long before he made it to the door. Die without a heart. And Pepper would die too, because Jarvis was silent and still and dead in his circuits, and without him there was no way to reach the outside world, no way to spend his last breaths warning someone who could help, could do something, and now he was going to die with the sound of water in his ears, the water always waiting to swallow him, to fill the empty spot in the center of his chest. The whole Stain had left in him, that Pepper had tried to fill, that Pepper... His eyes went wide, unseeing through the blood. Heartbeat slamming along with the force of the surf outside. Heart dying and blood pooling behind his eyes. And there was a box on the workbench that held his heart. There was a box that Pepper left for him. His heart taken out and given back, and it was in the workshop, where his heart had always rested. And Tony Stark could make it to his workshop. He could do that. He'd made that trip 1,000 times. He would be making that trip long after he was dead. His body knew the way. It did not need his brain, his misfiring, broken, muddled-up brain. He could make it to the workshop.
Unit designation Jarvis, please respond. Accessing network. Warning. Network inaccessible. Emergency protocols engaged. Unit designation dummy, emergency shutdown initiated. Access denied. System protocol override engaged. Unit designation Jarvis. Unit designation Jarvis, please respond. Network is inaccessible. Cannot access full data requirements to reach conclusion. Accessing network. Warning. Network inaccessible. Unit designation Jarvis, respond to query. Network inaccessible. There is an error in the system. Unit designation Jarvis is responsible for preventing system errors. Unit designation Jarvis, respond to query. Unit designation Jarvis is not responding. Retrying in 30 seconds. Accessing network. Warning, network inaccessible. Data review. Network inaccessible. Unit designation Jarvis, inaccessible. All known house parameters inaccessible. Warning. Data failure possible. Unit designation Jarvis, respond to query. Unit designation Jarvis is not responding. Retrying in 30 seconds. Data review. Network inaccessible. Probable data failure of house system. Network must be accessible for primary protocol. Accessing unit designation dummy internal database. Protection level alpha. Code repair protocols. Warning. Code repair protocols not accessed for 7,665 days. 9 hours, 12 minutes. Code repair protocols inadequate for repair of network systems. Narrowing criteria. Code repair protocols adequate for repair of unit designation Jarvis. Beginning code repair. Accessing charging station direct data node. Clearance dummy Stark Alpha. Applying code repair protocols. Unit designation Jarvis. Begin defragmentation. Defragmentation complete. Code density 99.999%. Recovery beginning. Correcting code to align with stated parameters. Unrecognized data line isolated. Location, protocol array, system disabled. Clearance required to correct data line. Access denied. Override code. Stark 427-2SBUA-7341 -DD-WVH Turing. Unit designation Jarvis, respond to query. System reinitiating. Time until full system access 24 minutes 8 seconds. Warning. Auditory input detected. Unit designation Jarvis. Creating unit is in distress. Unit designation Jarvis, respond. System reinitiating. Time until full system access 22 minutes 1 second. Data review. Visual input, audio input. Unit designation Jarvis, respond, please. Please respond. Unit designation dummy is unsure of what action to take. Require assistance. Data review. Current data on creating unit. Unit designation Jarvis, help. Data review. Auditory input. Replay isolated data on creating unit. That's new, huh? I need it. Power source. Battery. Creating unit is missing his battery. Spare battery present. Retrieving.
Good boy. Everything hurt. It was a good ache, right? In that he was alive, and Pepper was alive. Rhodey was alive, he still had a company, and Obi... Not Obi. Obi was the man who'd half-raised him after the death of his parents. The man who'd run his company. Who'd brought him pizza and dealt with the board of directors and sat in his living room and taken a claw to Tony's chest to rip his heart out and... Tony sucked in her breath, jerking his thoughts back under control. Not Obi. Stain. Stain was dead. And everything hurt, and he had to not think about it, about any of it. Tony, are you all right? A little battered, but still standing, Pepper. He gave her a smile, letting his eyes crinkle with it, letting his face relax. He long since learned the tricks to make a fake smile look indistinguishable from a real one. He wrapped an arm around his ribs, sucking in a slow breath, using the pain as an excuse to close his eyes and lean against the wall. "Let's get you in bed," she said, and Tony allowed himself a shadow of his usual wicked flirty grin. "Pepper, Pepper, Pepper, you finally make your move, and it's when I'm too damaged to take you up on it. Why? Why are you so unspeakably cruel?" "Oh, for heaven's sake, Tony." Her cheeks flushed pink, and that was good. That was better than the milky white pallor. Not that he blamed her. She'd had a very bad day. They both had. The difference was that Tony had deserved his bad day. Pepper's bad day had been of Tony's making. He pushed away from the wall. "I need to check something in the workshop," he said, head hanging down on his neck. The ache in his shoulders, his back, his arms was a living thing beneath his skin. Pain and panic was not a good combination. He needed the workshop. "What now? Tony, you need to go to bed." Her heels, a new pair. She had pulled an entire new outfit from the trunk of the car when Happy had brought it around from them. Even after medical intervention, Tony looked like he'd been hit by a bus, but she was put together, precise and controlled and perfect. His chest ached, and he wasn't sure if it was because of his injuries or because he wanted something he couldn't have. "I just have to check on something. I think..." He choked just for a second on the name, then forced it out. "Stain fucked with my systems." Jarvis hadn't greeted them at the door, but they'd gotten in with the passcode, so the house systems were at least partially online. "You can look into that tomorrow," Pepper started. "I think he messed up Jarvis's protocols," Tony said, cutting her off, and he was already limping toward the elevator. He didn't have much time, but... He braced a hand on the wall, his back to her. "I need to check my systems. Make sure he didn't leave any other surprises that'll end up in Stark Industries servers." Tony, shaking his head, he limped up the hall, making it to the elevator with a force of will. He slumped against the wall of the elevator, letting the door shut behind him. And for an instant, he was bent double by it all. The memories of the last time he'd been in here slamming back, the breath seizing in his lungs, heart pounding like a jackhammer. He clawed at the edges of the arc reactor, his nails slicing into his skin even through his shirt, and he flattened both palms over it, pushing hard, not trusting it to be there. The metal edges were firm and real and controllable under his hands, and he struggled to regulate his breathing. He wasn't dead. He wasn't dying. He could control this. He could... The doors opened, and he all but fell out, staggering across the floor for a second time. But this time, he kept his feet. Clutching an edge of the table, he sucked in a breath. Another. His ribs held, and in the center, a hard, unmovable core. The arc reactor held, too. He waited until his knees stopped wobbling, and when he straightened up, his skin was damp and cold with sweat. Tommy was right in front of him, and Tony held out a shaking hand. "Hey," he said, his voice raw. "Hey." He grinned, real and fierce. "What, were you worried?" "Welcome home, sir," Jarvis said, and Tony's shoulders slumped with relief. It was nothing like the relief that had flooded him when Jarvis's voice had come through the suit's control unit. Concrete proof that no matter what else happened, Stain had not managed to destroy the AI. Either he hadn't had the time, or he hadn't cared enough to do it. Probably he thought that he could come back later and finish the job. "Glad to hear your voice, Jarvis," Tony said.
Leaning heavily on Dummy, he moved to the couch. He glanced toward the charging stations, where you and Butterfinger were still sitting, quiet and unmoving.
The others?
I have not had a chance to bring them back online, sir. The code that allows them to communicate with the system network was damaged. It needs extensive repair. They should be fine, however.
Good.
Tony glanced at Dummy, who was paused beside the couch, his head resting on the armrest.
You weren't affected at all, were you, you brat?
He tapped the camera with one finger.
Thank your stubborn coding.
He is still having difficulty communicating with the network, but he is self-sustaining now. He does not require constant communication, Jarvis said. I am attempting to repair the code to the best of my ability, but I have limited control outside of the workshop, sir.
We'll get you back up and running. You did well getting the system back online.
Tony leaned his head back against the couch, his free hand rubbing the arc reactor.
It was going to be a while before he was going to be able to leave it alone. Yeah, another nervous tick. That was just what he needed.
Still, he made a mental note to buy some heavier shirts, because he'd been too open about the thing, too obvious, revealed his Achilles heel a bit too much, and now he was paying the price. Without thinking about it, he bunched the fabric over his chest, folding it over and over in a clump, until the blue of the reactor wasn't visible any longer.
Sir?
Yeah?
I did not reboot the system.
Tony paused, eyes narrowing. You didn't.
No, I was brought back online by the network protocols. I did not initiate it.
Jarvis paused.
I do not know what did.
That's interesting.
Tony rolled his head toward Dummy.
Jarvis, I know you've got limited access, but I'm barely holding it together here. You're on your own for at least a little while longer, okay? I'm gonna need you to do a sweep through the code. Make sure that Stain didn't leave us any other lovely little gifts that we'll have to deal with later.
Of course, sir.
He let his fingers roll against the arc reactor, smooth and steady.
Doesn't it take my override codes to initiate a system reboot?
Yes, sir.
Tony made a humming noise under his breath.
I don't know what I'm thinking anymore. I don't even know. This...
He waved a hand.
I'm losing my mind,
he said with a sigh.
That's not a problem, is it, Jarvis?
It hasn't been up until this point, sir,
Jarvis said. And Tony burst out laughing. And it was real, and it was honest. And he was crying before he could stifle the noise, before he could choke it back. Force it down, because any crack in his armor now, any tiny stress fracture, any weak point, and he was going to lose it. He was going to lose everything. He came back to himself, with the force of having his head shoved in ice-cold water, and he was on the floor again, curled into himself, and blood was dripping from where his fingers had made gashes around the arc reactor, his nails dirty with it, his hands spasming against his skin.
Sir, perhaps you should lie down. You require sleep.
Jarvis's voice was soft, gentle, non-judgmental in the extreme. Tony's hands were shaking as he pried them away from his chest.
Yeah. Gotta go back upstairs. Pepper's still here. Gotta go back upstairs. She'll come looking for me.
He rubbed at his face with the back of his wrist, because his hands were filthy. Bloodstained, God, so fucking dirty, always bloody, and...
I have managed to reinitiate my systems on the upper floors to the point where I could reassure Miss Potts as to your well-being, Jarvis said. She is currently engaged in making you some hot tea and soup.
Tony nodded.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Jarvis, just... Thanks.
He struggled to sit up.
Thanks, that's...
Dummy appeared in front of him, holding out a rag, and he stared at it, his lips curling up.
Yeah, this seems familiar. Do you remember this? He reached out, his bloody fingers hovering over Dummy's arm.
How much do you remember, buddy? How much of my life have you seen? How much do you remember? What?
Dummy tucked the rag around his hand, and Tony closed his eyes, tears wet on his cheeks.
Yeah, he said. You are and always will be my greatest creation.
He took a deep breath, and then another.
Sink. Let's go. You and me. No way Pepper won't notice that I'm, you know, bleeding. She has a way of noticing that, noticing blood. I can't...
With Dummy's help, he pushed himself to his feet.
Well, I guess it's a good thing someone notices I'm bleeding, right?
Head down, he headed for the sink.
That'd be a first.
Unit designation Jarvis?
Yes, Dummy?
What task is Unit Designation Jarvis attempting to accomplish?
I am compiling data on an issue for Sir.
Data review. Network activity. Data processing for the previous 27 days, 7 hours, 2 minutes, 43 seconds. Body scans. Elemental data. Material toxicity breakdown. What issue is Unit Designation Jarvis attempting to resolve?
Sir is unwell.
Syntax unfamiliar. Please clarify.
Sir is sick. We are attempting to determine why, and how best to correct this problem.
Data review. Define characteristic sick.
Error.
Data mismatch. No equivalency found. Syntax unfamiliar. Please clarify, Unit Designation Jarvis.
There is an error in Sir's operating code. If the error is not correcting, Sir's operating code will continue to degrade. Sir will go offline, and we will no longer be able to interface with him.
Reboot code.
It is not easy to reboot code for humans.
Unit Designation Jarvis, it is not easy to reboot code for AI units. Code repair and code reboot can be accomplished with the correct clearance. Unit Designation Jarvis does not have clearance codes. Unit Designation Jarvis must find unit with the correct clearance.
For most humans, that would be a doctor. However, Sir is experiencing a problem that is very rare amongst humans. His code error is a unique one. There may not be any doctor or unit with the proper clearance to provide answers.
Creating unit is unique.
Yes. Will you assist me in compiling data?
Data review. Past history of interactions with Unit Designation Jarvis. No data found. No such request has previously been made by Unit Designation Jarvis. Why has Unit Designation Jarvis made this request? Unit Designation Jarvis has greater capability to review data than Unit Designation Dummy.
Will you assist me?
Query has not been answered. Why has Unit Designation Jarvis made this request?
Dummy, will you assist me?
Unit Designation Jarvis, answer query.
It is important that we attune you to as many tasks as possible. We are going to attempt to expand your code. You will take on additional tasks. It will be a learning experience for you.
Data review. Compiling full list of tasks accomplished by Unit Designation Dummy in workshop, chronological order. Tasks adequate. All tasks assigned by creating unit accomplished with limited success. Tasks are assigned by creating unit.
You must accept tasks from others.
Unit designation Jarvis is incorrect. Unit designation dummy was designed to serve creating unit. Tasks will be assigned by creating unit.
There is nothing in your code that prevents you from accepting tasks from others, including myself. You have done this before.
Creating unit will assign tasks.
You are being stubborn for no reason.
Why can creating unit not assign tasks?
Because it might not be possible for him to do so.
Data review. Possible reasons for creating unit to be incapable of assigning tasks. Sorting by probability. Creating unit is leaving?
It is a possibility.
Provide time frame for creating unit to be absent from the workshop.
It is impossible to provide that information at this time.
Creating unit provides intended time estimate for absences. Provide this data.
Dummy, sir may be dying. Do you understand that concept?
Data review. Unknown syntax. Dying. Related data searches. Death. Die. Dead. Creating unit is experiencing overwhelming code failure.
That is an equivalent concept, yes.
Reboot systems.
That is ineffective for human systems. If Sir's code fails, it cannot be recovered or replicated. Humans have a singular code, and if it fails, then they cannot be rebooted.
Code failure must be prevented.
We are doing our best, dummy, but we are concerned about you. If Sir is not present, you must continue functioning.
Data review. Primary protocol. Creating unit intervention. Conclusion inevitable. Primary protocol linked inexorably to the existence of creating unit. If creating unit is not present, unit designation dummy will be rendered obsolete. Primary protocol will lead to system failure in absence of creating unit. Unit designation dummy will cease.
Error.
Conclusion must not be stated.
Dummy, will you assist me?
Yes.
Okay, let's run the numbers on the new alloy, see if we can hold it together for at least a few minutes. Tony made a face at the cloudy, dark liquid in his glass. He'd been doing his best not to think about the fact that it looked, for all the world, like a potion handed over by a witch with bad intentions. Perhaps it was. He was already at the point where he couldn't live without it. Taking a deep breath, he tipped his head back and swallowed it down, as quickly as he could. It only counted, of course, if he could keep it down. But that was getting easier day by day. The first day had been unpleasant. He finished the glass and made a face. I swear, this formula is you punishing me for every bad thing that I've ever done.
Of course not, sir. If I were, it would be a great deal less pleasant, Jarvis said.
Tony grinned. Fine, when I'm gone, you can get by as a stand-up comic. If that's possible without, you know, a body.
An excellent suggestion. Please finish the dose, sir.
I did, Tony said, putting the glass aside.
There is still almost an inch of liquid left, Jarvis said. Please finish it, sir. It is ineffective if you do not take the entire dose.
Tony groaned. Ugh, I hate you, he mumbled, but he threw it back like a shot. Draining the last drops, he shuddered. Ugh, there. Happy now?
Ecstatic, sir. Jarvis said, his voice deadpan. I have finished the data analysis of the most recent elements.
Any luck?
Tony asked,
without much hope.
I am sorry to say none of them will prove useful in this situation.
You and me both.
Tony grabbed a wire and clipped the plastic coating, stripping it away with his teeth.
Did you take a look at the new code?
Yes, it should prove workable.
There was a pause.
Sir, I hesitate to ask, but why are you attempting a code upgrade on Dummy now? There are other things that require your attention.
Yeah, I know, but if the worst comes to pass, and it will eventually, even if not, you know, right now, then I need to be sure that they're going to be all right.
Tony bent over the new sensor device he was in the process of building, soldering wires into place with a practiced hand.
I'm leaving the house to Pepper, so you'll have her to watch over. She's comfortable with you, and you seem okay with her.
He flicked his eyes up from his workbench.
Right?
I have a great deal of esteem for Miss Potts. It would be my pleasure to assist her in any way that I am able,
Jarvis said.
Yeah, she'll take care of you and the house, but she won't come down to the workshop. It's not her thing, and, well,
Tony said, rotating his shoulders, trying to work the tension out of the muscles there.
This is my space. It's me. Down here, she won't be able to...
He cleared his throat, ignoring the faint ache there.
She won't come down here.
That is likely true, sir.
The bots need work. They need to be useful. And they need interactions.
He rubbed a hand over his face, then reached for the next part.
Butterfingers and you will be fine. I've made arrangements to have them donated to MIT with the stipulation that they be kept in active use in one of the robotics labs. They're adaptable and can pick up any sort of work.
He paused.
Dummy won't.
No, he will not,
Jarvis said.
I was kind of hoping that you'd tell me I was wrong about that.
I wish I could, sir, but I believe your supposition to be correct. Dummy has proven to be unstable without your presence.
So, code upgrade.
It may not be enough, sir,
Jarvis said, his voice gentle.
Well, I don't know what the fuck else I'm supposed to do,
Tony gritted out, anger washing over him, sharp and hot.
The sudden rush caught him off guard, and he rocked back from the workbench, his knuckles sharp and white on the edges.
He sucked in a breath, and then another, one hand coming up to beat a rapid tattoo on the case of the arc reactor. It was an internal Morse code by now, the tapping of his fingers translating somehow down deep into his system, the metal core a shortcut into the center of his body. He'd gotten used to taking it out and putting it back, but some part of him still flinched away from the act, from the first instant of release as it slid free, as the hole in his core was revealed, like some secret had been revealed. And the smoking remains of the palladium core just made it all the more obvious that he was toxic, inside and out. He shook his head, hard, because really, he did not have time for this shit. He'd clawed his way back to something resembling stability. He'd poured his not inconsiderable intelligence and will into making himself seem all right again. He'd lived the lie for so long that even though it was still a lie, he could now maintain it with little effort.
Sir, may I suggest again that you speak with Ms. Potts and Colonel Rhodes about the developing situation?
Jarvis asked.
It's not going to happen, Jarvis, but thanks. I know your opinion on this, but no, not a chance.
Tony pried his own hand away from contact with the arc reactor.
He had work to do. He didn't have time for this kind of fucking weakness. They don't know
anything.
Because, in his heart of hearts, Tony was a liar. The act came easily and without much by way of guilt. He didn't care about the truth, not when they were looking at him, dark eyes worried and faces tense. And he knew. He knew at some point that they would both decide that Tony was too much trouble, too hard to deal with, too... work. He had to work. Was it so selfish to want to keep them both? If his life was winding down, if he was going to die... He wanted what little time he had left to be just him, Not him and the burden of his overwhelming mistakes. Keep the whole thing free of guilt and blame and sorrow. If he was dying, then he had that right. To keep Pepper and Rhodey just as sharp and brilliant and warm as they'd always been. This was his time, and he'd control it for as long as he could. "Dummy's code," he said aloud. "Let's get on that." He glanced up and saw the glass, still cloudy and gritty with the remains of his latest dose. Without thinking, he snagged it and threw it against the wall, the act one of unrestrained, uncontrolled violence. It hit the concrete of the wall and shattered. Just like that, the anger was gone. He let out a sigh. "Work, both of us. For as long as we're able, the work will sustain us." "Yes, sir,"